Today on Hardwired.
I hope you have a prayer life. You don't have to be, you know, some 3 hour a day intercessor. Just when you think of it, pray. You can pray driving down the highway. You can pray in the office, silently, quietly, unless you get fired. You can pray anywhere, anytime. That's a good thing about prayer. You can pray. And when the Holy Spirit brings to your mind somebody, lift them up and pray for them.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. As we come to our final message from our study of Ephesians, I'm going to share some final thoughts out of the Apostle Paul's closing words and what we've gleaned from this awesome book. I think one of my favorite things about the epistles written by Paul as he was guided by the Holy Spirit are the little bite-sized nuggets of wisdom that he always leaves at the end. So let's jump right into today's message, Paul's final thoughts, and see what he had to say.
Let's look at Ephesians now, Paul's final thoughts. Now, last time we looked at the reality of spiritual warfare. How many of you know it's a reality? Spiritual warfare. And the need of putting on the armor of God each and every day. Now, as we close Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we're going to look at his final thoughts, which are rich and instructive. As a matter of fact, when I read Ephesians or I read Colossians or any of the, what we call in seminary, Pauline letters, I love the last things he said because he always deals with you, teaches practical little nuggets at the very end, and I just have always loved it. It's kind of like reading the Proverbs a little bit. But now, let's look at his final thoughts. Having exhorted his readers to pray for all the saints, remember ending on that last time, that we should always be in prayer? Now he requests specific prayer for himself. So can you say with me, if Paul needed prayer, then where am I? Because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but he said, look what he said. Pray also for me, he writes to the Ephesians, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will, how, everybody? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So look at what he's praying for here. If prayer weren't really that important, he would not be urging it so strongly, especially attaching it to the very end of the armor of God. On the very end of the armor of God, he says, now remember, praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And now he's saying, and while you're in prayer, pray for your apostle. Pray for your father in the faith. Pray for your leader. I hope all of you pray for me. If you don't pray for me, pray for me. Because, you know, we tend to look at the people up there and they say, well, they don't really need our prayers because they're strong in the Lord. They don't really, listen, it's the leadership the devil attacks. Amen. So never forget, I'll ask you, pray for me, pray for Kathy, yeah. Pray for our home, pray that God strengthens us because we need it. I'll say it with Paul, we need it. Yeah. And so don't forget to do it. So Paul is saying, just because I'm the mighty apostle, don't think I don't need prayer. I do. And so he longs for their prayers for him, knowing that the prayers of the saints empower him for ministry. The prayers of the saints enable him and bring strength to him and help him. Specifically, he wants this. He wants fearlessness. He wants boldness. He wants to walk in a state of boldness. He wants confidence. He wants courage, confidence, boldness, frankness, especially in the presence of people of high rank. He said, you know, when I get in front of who's, When I get in front of the Caesars and, you know, the Herods and the government leaders, I'm asking you, Ephesians, to pray for me that I will not wimp out, that I won't choke, but I will boldly declare Christ. I really do believe that what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the West needs right now is this kind of boldness. Amen. This kind of boldness. We're looking at a nation that just seems to me to be without a spine. It just seems to be spineless. It's like nobody will take a stand for anything to cover their own backsides. Amen. But you know what? Take a stand. God will cover your backside. So here Paul is saying, I want confidence, I want courage, and he's admitting it's not going to come just from me, Paul. It's not going to come from my flesh. It's going to come from God. God gives us boldness. God strengthens us. God empowers us. All right? We got to remember that. We walk by faith, not by sight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So over and over again, this man, Paul, this brilliant scholar, this anointed apostle says, I know where everything I have in my spiritual weaponry comes from. It does not come from me, including boldness. So he said, pray for me. Paul is in prison for preaching in Jerusalem. And on every occasion afterward in which he appeared before those who had the power to release him, he asked for prayers that he will not slack off and compromise with fear as he awaits trial in Rome. So he's saying, pray for me that I'll stand for Jesus instead of compromising just to get out of jail. Now I wonder how many of us would compromise the message to get out of jail, especially an old first century Roman jail, which was hideous, terrible. Awful. It was a pit in the ground, a pit in the ground. It was not Tarrant County Jail, though that's horrible. Any jail is horrible to me. But this was a pit in the ground. You walked down into it. It was a dungeon. It stank. It was cold. It was lonely. You didn't get three squares a day. So I wonder how many of us would say, Lord, gee, I just think you'll understand if I compromise and sort of soft pedal this thing to get out. Some of you, including me, may get to find out one day if America keeps going the way it's going. There are pastors in Canada. There's been a couple in America that have been jailed for preaching the Word of God. Imagine. So it could be coming our way. I wonder how thin the ranks will get in the church if persecution really gets red hot. I wonder how many will soft shoe the message of the gospel and say, oh, you know, God will understand if I don't preach this and this and this. Because it's right now getting to the point where if you tell people they're lost or you tell people they're sinners, it can be called hate crime. It's insane. Amen. It's the devil. Yes. Now, this same kind of courage is found in Peter and John, isn't it? Weren't they just marked by boldness? The same Simon Peter that shrank from that little girl at the campfire where Jesus was taken to be arrested and taken, where the kangaroo court was trying him, and Peter was in the outer court, and he's warming his hands at the fire, and that little girl said, you were with him, and he denied Christ three times. But when the Holy Ghost anointing came upon Simon Peter, he turned from a lamb into a lion. And God gave him boldness, all right? So even when their preaching caused their imprisonment, after their release, they boldly prayed. I love this prayer. Let's pray it together. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Same prayer. Look at that. Same prayer that Paul prayed, Peter prayed, John prayed, they all prayed, and they walked in the anointing of boldness. If Paul needed to ask for prayer that he might be faithful to fight the good fight of faith at his trial in front of Caesar, how much more should we pray for one another to not only survive and hold our own, but to be fearless in the face of opposition? Because, you know, when he stood before Rome and he gave his defense, every single solitary Christian in Asia forsook him. They all walked away. Not one of his children in the faith stayed with him. They all shrank back. When he went before the big boy, when he went before Caesar, they all said, you know, Paul, been real, we're praying for you. But we're not going to be there standing in the court with you, lest they look at us and grab us for being with you. And he says, all those in Asia forsook me. But then he makes the triumphal statement, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that I might fully preach the message that God had given me to preach. And then he prayed. He said, I pray that God doesn't hold it to their charge. I pray that God does not make them answer for walking out on me when I needed them. Well, so boldness was a real issue in the early church. You either had it or you didn't. And if you had it, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have got some good boldness in here? Let me see. If you're a pretty bold person with Christ, raise your hand. The rest of you, I pray this anointing comes on you. I really do. I pray it's on me. Pray for me that I have it. Because there's times I'm out there and I'll think, I don't want to say anything right now. I'm tired. I got my mind on other things. And besides, what would they think? And as soon as I think the thought, what would they think? I know I'm in trouble and I need to shake it off and be bold. Because I shouldn't care what they think. I should care what he thinks. Amen? So they pray to be fearless in the face of opposition. Now, we help one another through prayer. We help one another through prayer. So I hope you're praying for your brethren here, and I hope you're praying for me, and I hope you're praying for yourself. I hope you have a prayer life. You don't have to be, you know, some 3-hour-a-day intercessor. Just when you think of it, pray. You can pray driving down the highway. You can pray in the office, silently, quietly, unless you get fired. You can pray anywhere, anytime. That's a good thing about prayer. You can pray. And when the Holy Spirit brings to your mind somebody, lift them up and pray for them. Because we help one another through prayer. Now, our natural tendency is to avoid pain and persecution. I know it's my tendency. But when we're going through our most difficult struggles, guess what happens? People are watching us most closely to see whether our faith is real or if we are just fair weather Christians or it's all just talk with no substance. When you're going through that fire, when your coworkers know you're going through something and they know that you have told them you're a Christian, they're going to watch you to see what good your faith does you in the valley. They're going to watch for that. And if they see you maintaining your composure, walking in peace, yes, being troubled, yes, hurting, yes, having pain, we're not Superman, but nevertheless going through it with a sense of peace and serenity that God is in charge, they see that.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
I know it's an old saying, but here it is anyway. You're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. You're the Bible that people read, and so am I. So I have to always remind myself out in public, all right, Jeff, remember who you are and whose you are. Let me give you an example. I'm at Starbucks this week, and where I tend to go. You know that. Because I believe God created coffee on the 8th day. He spent the whole day on it. No, I'm just kidding. I was at Starbucks, and I was meeting a pastor. Now, me and this pastor had never met in person. He had been here to speak, but I'd never met him. So I met him there, and we were having a great talk. And, you know, we were in casual clothes, and I think I was in a jogging suit. We're just sitting there talking about the things of God, talking about church, and all of a sudden this woman comes out of nowhere and walks up and just leans right into us and says, I want you to know, I really enjoy you on the radio. And I said, do I know you? And she said, no, but I heard you talking, and I said, that has to be him. So I turned to this pastor. Now, you're going to think this is kind of crude, but I was just joking with him. I said, man, I got to really stop cussing. kidding. But you know what I mean. Because my voice carries, and here's this woman out of nowhere. I never seen her in my life. Because you know what? You are always being watched by the lost. So let them read good things. You know, walk in peace. Walk with the Lord. Just get up in the morning and get with him and then go walk with him all day long. Because it's just like moths to a light bulb when you're really filled with the Spirit. They'll begin to sense it on you. Okay? They know there's a difference. I'm telling you, they know there's a difference. Well, Pastor Jeff, nobody ever notices me. They'll notice Jesus in you. They really will. I'm in another Starbucks. Get this. Starbucks ought to give me a year of free coffee because this is going out on the radio. But I'm in another Starbucks and I've just ordered a coffee and I sit down at a table. And I'm at a table by myself and I'm just drinking this coffee. And a man walks up and hands me a glass of water. And I'd never seen him in my life. So, of course, I said, thank you, but what is this? And do I know you? And he said, no. But he said, but are you on the radio? And I said, well, yes. And he said, I thought so. I heard you order the coffee. And he said, I drive a UPS truck. And I listen to you every day. And he said, "He said when I was sure it was you, I want to give you a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord." So there you go. So I just want you, I'm just telling you that everywhere you go, people are watching you, especially if they know you're a believer, and I hope they know. Amen. Go ahead and come out of the closet. Everybody else is. Why don't you? Seriously. None of this was planned tonight. This is not on my stuff, but it's all free. Now, say with me, God gives us boldness rather than a wimpy faith. Can you tell your neighbor, I don't have a wimpy faith and neither do you? That's right. Now, I want to point out how Paul identifies himself as an ambassador in chains before we move on. The word here is presbuo, meaning to be an ambassador or an envoy or to travel or work as an ambassador. See, you're a heavenly rep. An ambassador is a representative. And as soon as you are his, he anoints you and appoints you to be a rep. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. For no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but he puts it on a tabletop where it lights up the whole room. So you let your light shine because you're a heavenly representative. You're an ambassador, a presbuo. You're an ambassador. The word is powerful. It refers to somebody who acts as an emissary, transmitting messages or negotiations on behalf of another. That's you. That's me. We have been called to that. That's what God has graced every believer to do. Not everybody in here is an evangelist. Most of you in here are not called to full-time ministry. That is where it's your bread and butter. But you are called to be a full-time witness. And isn't it funny how we can get so burdened down with all of our personal stuff that we just don't feel able to really witness a lot of the time. And you know, that's the enemy trying to burden you down with so much that you cannot shine. Paul realizes that when he appears before the Roman emperor for his trial, he'll do so as the representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a spokesperson for the kingdom of God, and he can't wimp out when he's given his audience, especially Caesar, who was Nero, the insane lunatic. Nero. We too are ambassadors, envoys, emissaries of the kingdom of God. So Pastor Jeff, you know, I would do it if I knew the Bible like you do, but I don't know the Bible like you do. What if they ask me a hard question? I'm going to answer you. If they ask you a hard question, it says, don't consider ahead of time what you're going to say, for the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say on the spot. That's what Jesus said. Holy Ghost will tell you what to say on the spot. See, you may not know everything you wish you did, but the one inside of you knows what needs to be said. And when you get adept at talking to people about Jesus, he will tell you what to say. He'll give you an answer. We don't have to be theologians. We're witnesses. If you went out of here tonight and you saw a car wreck on the corner of Garden Acres and the service road of 35. You watched it happen right in front of you. Somebody ran the red light and somebody else was coming the other way and they slammed together and there was a terrible wreck and the cops come and they say, "What did you see?" You could tell them what you saw. Well, I was sitting right here and this one ran the red light, the other one was coming the other way and they crashed and it was the one who ran the red light's fault. And you know what you are? When you do that, you're an effective witness. Jesus didn't call theologians, he called witnesses. He called witnesses. You know what? They want to see what you say you saw. So all you got to say is, "Well, you know what? I once was lost, now I'm found. I was all torn up in sin and Jesus delivered me. I'm a witness." That's all you've got to deliver. Your witness, your eyewitness. What happened to you? Your testimony. Everybody in here has one. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Paul says to the Corinthian church, with a "we" that includes all of us. Look what he says. Read it with me out loud, good and loud. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." God has something to say to this world. And here's what it is. It's very simple. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the appeal God has to make to the world. But he doesn't choose just to speak in an audible voice where everybody hears it. He chooses witnesses. And right there it says "we." Can you say "we" with me? We. We are therefore. That's all inclusive. Christ's ambassadors. Now, to everyone with whom our lives intersect, we are Christ's personal representatives. When we wimp out, and we've all done it, when we neglect to identify ourselves with Christ, when we remain silent to avoid ridicule or persecution, we do the one who sent us a disservice. What did he say? "If you're ashamed of me in this evil and wicked generation, I'm going to be ashamed of you. But if you speak for me and stand for me, I will stand for you at the judgment." Isn't that what he said? When I look at what people are standing for these days, when I look at what they're coming out proudly and proclaiming to live in and to walk in, and they do it with a smile and they hold their heads high and they proudly proclaim that they're living in some kind of perversion or sin of one kind or another, and they do it without fear. They do it together. They do it boldly. I think, where are the children of God who ought to be bold for righteousness? So, Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me." What an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Awesome responsibility. So, as is customary at the conclusion of nearly all of his letters, now, Paul is going to move to some personal comments, and I really love these. Now, he's going to talk about one guy, and I'm going to get you to say his name with me. For years, I preached this guy's name wrong. Verse 21 through 22, chapter 6, he starts out and he says, now here's the way I used to preach it, Tychicus. I used to say Tychicus, because I was just reading it the way you would read English, Tychicus. And then after I'd been getting it wrong for years, I read one day, it's not Tychicus, it's Tychicus. So let's learn the name right. Can you say with me, Tychicus? Isn't that kind of fun? That just kind of flows right off your tongue. Tychicus. I don't know anybody named Tychicus, but what a cool name, Tychicus. Some of you ladies who are yet to have children need to pray about this. Tychicus. Hey, Tyke. What's your name? Tychicus. I mean, it kind of growls, you know? Tychicus. Sounds like he could whoop you. Tychicus. Anyway, he says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. They didn't have emails in those days. There was no phones. There was no nothing. So you had to send somebody to tell others how you were. You had to send representatives. You had to send messengers. So Tychicus was Paul's messenger.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.